So our lesson for the morning is the first Thanksgiving. Our text is in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 107, verse 23 through 32. And in this passage of Scripture, the Bible reads as follows. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson here, we let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, the first Thanksgiving celebrated by those who spoke English in the geographical region that would become the United States of America was celebrated by people known as the Pilgrims, who came to this region fleeing religious persecution. The persecution of the church is as old as the church. The Gospels record that when Jesus himself was here laying the foundation for the church, he anticipated persecution. In one of his earliest sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Because of Jesus' demonstration of his power, the scribes and the Pharisees plotted Jesus' death on the cross in an effort to persecute his leadership out of existence. John chapter 11, verse 47 through 54 informs us. Then the chief priests and Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man Jesus works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider it expedient that for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put Jesus to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer openly walked among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. Now, God's reason for sending Jesus to the cross was that he might pay the penalty that we owe for the sins that we have committed. The Jewish leaders that persecuted Jesus and ultimately had him killed did so in order to preserve their position as the leaders of the religious establishment. In many cases, the people of God are not persecuted by those outside the church who do not care about God, but by those inside the church who want the power and position of religious leadership. Now, the Jewish leaders who wanted the power were successful in having Jesus killed on the cross. When he rose from the dead, appeared to the apostles, and revealed his plan for the church, Jesus and the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to preach Christian doctrine even in the face of persecution to the death. When the early church formed on the day of Pentecost under the leadership of Peter and the other apostles, the Jewish leaders continued their persecution because the church threatened their leadership. A wonderful story of the intercession of the power of God as the church was being persecuted begins with the apostles at work in the temple healing the sick. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 through 16 records, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." Now, the Jewish leaders were jealous of this display of power and the preaching of Jesus, as Acts chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 records. The Bible says, "And the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." Now that night, the Lord sent an angel to free the apostles and instruct them to continue their preaching ministry. Acts chapter 5, verse 19 to 25 records, "But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to all the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, 'Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' So the Jewish leaders sent the officers of the guards to bring the apostles back to the council to complete their trial. Acts chapter 5, verse 26 through 33 records, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, 'Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us.' But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. But fortunately, every Jewish leader in attendance was not furious. A wise Pharisee had his wits about him provided the council with a historical perspective and intelligent insight that resolved the situation for the moment. Acts chapter 5, verse 33 through 40 records, "Then one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, stood up, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, 'Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So although the position of the council did not change with respect to the preaching of the gospel, the position of the disciples did not change with respect to their preaching ministry. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42 completes the story. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So the church's proper response to persecution is to face persecution courageously with the anticipation that Jesus will act to keep his church going. Jesus may do a number of things. In some cases, as in the case of himself and all of the disciples except John, Jesus allowed his and their martyrdom in order to give impetus to the overall movement. In Luke chapter 14, verse 26 through 30, Jesus instructs us, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" So Jesus tells us to count the cost before we enter the Christian journey. It may not seem so in the current configuration of Christianity, but the time may come in which we have to leave our comfort zone and enter a more dangerous place to earn our stripes as a Christian. One day, it may actually cost us something to be a Christian, as it did those men whose history is recorded in the book of Acts. The pilgrims who were involved in the story of the first Thanksgiving had to give something to practice their form of Christianity. Their desire to worship in a manner other than the Church of England provided was based upon their belief that the Church of England was simply going through the motions of Christianity, much as the Jewish leaders in the day of Jesus were going through the motions of Judaism. The pilgrims wanted their children raised in an authentic Christian environment. The leadership of the Church of England had a pharisaical ceremonial worship style and would not allow the required changes that would invoke the power of God. The Anglicans persecuted those who called for changes in their established order, so the pilgrims left England and moved as a group to Holland. Jesus taught his disciples to flee their geographic location in response to persecution. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, Jesus instructs, "When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Now, although they prospered economically in Holland, they were not able to achieve their desire for a more Christian environment for their children. The pilgrims considered the dust frivolous and their ideas a threat to the children's education and morality, much like the degeneration of education currently going on in many of the public schools in our country. So the pilgrims decided to leave Holland and travel to the New World, where they would not be encumbered by established church politics. Their trip was financed by a group of English investors, the Merchant Adventurers, who agreed to give the pilgrims passage and supply to the New World in exchange for their working for their backers for 7 years. On September 6, 1620, The pilgrims set sail for the New World on a ship called the Mayflower. The 65-day trip was cold and damp. Fire was considered dangerous on the wooden ship, so their food had to be eaten cold. Many passengers became sick, and one person died by the time land was sighted on November 10, 1620. The pilgrims decided to settle at Plymouth, which had previously been visited by Captain John Smith in 1614. Plymouth offered an excellent harbor and a large brook in which to fish. The pilgrims' biggest concern was attacked by the local Native Americans, but they proved to be a peaceful group rather than a threat. The first winter was devastating to the pilgrims. The cold snow and sleet was exceptionally heavy, interfering with the workers as they tried to construct their settlement. March brought warmer weather, and the health of the pilgrims improved, but many died during the first long winter. Of the 110 pilgrims and crew who left England, less than 50 survived that first winter. On March 16, 1621, a Native American man named Samoset walked into the Plymouth settlement and called out, "Welcome," in English. He had learned English from the captains of fishing boats that sailed off the coast. After staying the night, Samoset left the next day, but soon returned with another Native American named Squanto, who spoke better English than he. Squanto told the pilgrim of his voyages across the ocean and his visits to England and Spain. It was in England where he learned English. Squanto's importance to the pilgrims was enormous, and it can be said that they would not have survived without his help. It was Squanto who taught the pilgrims how to tap the maple trees for sap. He taught them which plants were poisonous and which had medicinal powers. He taught them how to plant Indian corn by heaping the earth in low mounds with several seeds and fish in each mound. The decaying fish fertilized the corn. He also taught them to plant other crops with the corn. The harvest in October was very successful, and the pilgrims found themselves with enough food to put away for the winter. There was corn, fruit, and vegetables, fish to be packed in salt, and meat to be cured over smoky fires. The pilgrims had much to celebrate. They had built homes in the wilderness. They'd raised enough crops to keep them alive during the long coming winter, and they were at peace with their Native American neighbors. They had beaten the odds, and it was time to celebrate. The pilgrim governor, William Bradford, proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving to be shared by all the colonists and the neighboring Native Americans. They invited Squanto and the others to join them in their celebration. Their chief, Massasoit, and 90 Indians came to the celebration, which lasted for 3 days. They played games, ran races, marched, and played drums. The Native Americans demonstrated their skills with the bow and arrow, and the pilgrims demonstrated their skill with their guns. Exactly when the festival took place was uncertain, but it is believed the celebration took place in mid-October. Now, the first Thanksgiving celebration was certainly in order for the pilgrims. God guided the Mayflower to a place where the Native American population was both peaceful and helpful. The majority of the pilgrims that came to the New World on the Mayflower died during the first winter. But just as God provided an angel to deliver Peter and the other apostles from the prison, God gave the pilgrims help in the persons of Native Americans who could communicate with them in English and teach them how to survive in their new environment. Chapter 107, verse 23 to 32 tells us, "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful work to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders." The psalmist says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Acts 5:33 tells us that the council plotted to kill the apostles. But Acts 5:41-42 tells us that after Gamaliel interceded, the apostles left the prison and the council, under whose authority they could have been killed, with rejoicing for their deliverance and a resolve to continue the work of the Lord. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. The psalmist says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. After over half the pilgrims died during their first winter here, the Lord provided them with men who could give them instruction in English that they needed to live in the new world, not only through the summer, but through the cold New England winter. The pilgrims instituted a celebration of thanksgiving. Psalm 107:35-38 records, he turns a wilderness into a pool of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. The psalmist says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. A young lady lived in an affluent neighborhood with a girlfriend that she had known throughout childhood. One day when both of them were 16, her girlfriend's parents gave their daughter an automobile. When the young lady went home to see her parents about transportation, she found that her parents were different than that of her girlfriend. Her parents told her that she could have a car when she could afford the payments and the upkeep. The girl's initial reaction was to think that her parents were terrible people, that they didn't care about her because they wouldn't give her what she wanted. And although she made her feelings known to her parents, they stuck to their guns. 5 years later, at the age of 21, the young lady has earned her car, takes good care of her car because she earned it herself, and has learned the value of earning that which she has. She has a sense of accomplishment because of her successful efforts and is thankful that God gave her the health and strength to work for that which she wanted and parents with the wisdom to train her in the way that she should go. Her girlfriend is on her third car, having totaled the first two. She's not a careful driver because she counts on her parents to buy her a car when she needs one. Her lack of care for her car shows that she is not particularly grateful because it is her expectation that she is entitled to her parents' care. As you set your table and prepare to eat this Thanksgiving, what do you feel, gratitude or entitlement? Psalm 107:39-43 tells us about the princes who feel entitlement and the poor who feel gratitude. The Bible says when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, God pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops his mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The psalmist said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. A prince who feels a sense of entitlement does not feel gratitude. A prince doesn't feel grateful for anything because, after all, the prince thinks that he has it coming. The poor man who struggles is thankful to God for the blessing that he receives because he knows from his experience with poverty, that which he has is a gift from God. Let those of us whom God has set on high, far from affliction, remember from where we have come and not become a prince in our own minds with a sense of entitlement to that which the Lord has blessed us. When the pilgrims reaped that first great harvest, they were thankful to God, not only for the bountiful harvest, but for sending them the English-speaking Native Americans that instructed them as to the proper way to sow the seed. somewhere along the line, God has interceded in your life. Do not be overly impressed with your accomplishments. Even if you did not recognize that God was acting on your behalf, God is the one who controls the laws of sowing and reaping. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 tells us, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the life to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And although it is wonderful to have the resources of this life, and we ought to be thankful to God for them, it is most important to be rich in good works to store up a good foundation for the time to come, laying hold on eternal life. Let us remember that Jesus suffered the persecution and injustice of the Jews, along with the scourging and crucifixion of the Romans, to give us the right to eternal life. The apostles and the other members of the early church also endured persecution and death to transmit the message that Jesus left. And there is a great cloud of witnesses who, down through the years, have put their lives and fortunes on the line to transmit the information of the gospel to us. We have the absolute responsibility to share the gospel with those with whom we have influence, because that is how the gospel is spread. To fail to do so is to neglect the responsibility that God has given us. To fail to participate in the Great Commission is to show the ultimate ingratitude to Jesus Christ for his sacrifice on the cross. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 tells us, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let us give thanks to God, not only by saying our praises, but let us observe all things that he has commanded us as well. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for those men that traveled across the ocean, and we thank you for the blessings that you gave them that allowed them to survive in that harsh New England environment, that they were able to grow and prosper and create the great nation that is here. And Lord, as their benefactors, we ask you, Lord, that you would help us to continue to prosper, to grow and survive, and to continue to create a great nation here. One that is free from religious persecution, but one where religion is also upheld, and one where we actually practice the Christianity that we can so easily practice should we desire to. And our Lord, we ask you that you would give us a good week this week, that you would allow us to enjoy the time that we're going to have off from our various occupations, that you would give us a great Thanksgiving, and help us not only to enjoy the food and the football and the family, but that you would help us to remember that one day when I was lost, you died upon the cross, and that I'm so thankful for that which you have done for me and for us. Bless us now, Lord, as we listen and as we remember what your word has told us to do, and help us to be thankful in all that we do and not to feel entitled, because we have the things that we have. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this morning, for the time that we have here together, for the meeting of the minds, for the transmission of ideas back and forth. And we ask you that you would let these ideas fall on fertile soil. Let the minds of the young people in the group be enlightened by that which we have said. Let them understand the conversation, and let them remember the conversation, even if they can't understand it, so that when the understanding does in fact come to them, they will have the background required to develop the values that we're trying to teach in our lessons. And we ask you, Lord, that you would continue to bless all that are in the house, that they might bring interesting comments and penetrating questions and a good interaction, that we might all grow from the sharing, that we might be blessed by one another. And we pray, Lord, for Rick, as he has completed basic training. We thank you that you have carried him through that stage of his development, and we ask you now, Lord, that you would keep him safe as he's here and as he travels the country for the next 2 weeks, and then as he prepares to go overseas and may find himself in harm's way. We ask you that you would send a squadron of angels to safeguard him and keep him safe from the bombs and the bullets, from the guns, and from all those who would do American soldiers harm. We just ask you that you'd bless him in all that he does, keep him safe and keep him strong. We pray also for Brian and for his new company. We thank you, Lord, that his project and his business plan has been well received by those who are working with him. And we ask you that you would give them ideas and give them implementation of those ideas in such a way that they might be able to grow their business and make it strong and prosperous, that he might be able to support those whom he loves, his wife and his children. Also praying for Sean's mother as she is going through a cancer healing situation. And we ask, we know, Lord, the efficacy of chemotherapy, but we ask you, Lord, that you would let down your garment, because you proved to the woman with the issue of blood that day that you have enough healing in the hem of your garment that we can all be made whole. So we ask that you bless her and bless her son as he is concerned about his mother. Pray for Carlos and Courtney and Nikki Owens and Eric, wherever they may happen to be, whatever they may happen to be doing, we ask you to bless them and all that's going on in their young life. And we're praying, Lord, for Sister Allen, for all those that she has asked us to pray for Brian and William and Arnold, and Seneca and Takika, for Alice Harris and Brian James, for Henry Hersey and for her husband, for Grace Pendleton and Julia Williams, for Ron Budden and for her mother, Ethel Artis. We're also praying for the store. We're asking you that in this period of shopping, this holiday period, that you would send some customers by that have the financial wherewithal to take possession of some of those beautiful frilly dresses and suits for young men that she has there, and the other things that they have that are attractions for them. We ask you to let them grow, let them prosper, and that you would also continue to keep Sister Allen in her health situation, that you would help her to improve her health situation according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, we're praying for the McClures as well. We ask you that you would give Janelle traveling mercy this week as she's coming back to town, that you would bless her and allow them to have a wonderful and glorious time together during this Thanksgiving period. Also pray for Brother McClure's mother as she is still in town and is considering moving to this locale. We ask you that you would help her make a good decision about those things, and that if she does decide to move here, that you would be able to facilitate all of the things that are required that she might be able to relocate from where she lives now to here. Make it a good transition for all who are involved. Praying for Brother Tommy Wells of Milwaukee, for Sister Veronica Olney and her family, for Sister Randy Rogers and Brother Stephen Rogers. We ask you to bless all of them in the way that that you know that they stand in need of. Now, Lord, we're praying for Brother Malcolm Suber as well. We thank you that he has been released from the hospital, and we ask you to continue his recuperation, give him strength in his body as he recovers from his situation. Help the therapist and those who are involved in his recovery to be efficient on their job. Give him the mental strength to go through the exercises and do all the things that are required as they instruct him, that he might continue to recover from his situation. Praying for Julia Smith, Mom Betty, for Sister Peter Durham, and for Ronald Russell. And we ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless Darius, that you would continue to give him that steel trap mind, that whatever the professors have to say, he might be able to soak it in, take it in, understand it, and then give it back to them at the time when the testing comes. Give him the time to get all of his work done in his busy schedule and still communicate on a periodic basis with his parents, that they might be comforted by hearing his voice. And we ask you that you would bless his voice as he is participating in a singing musical group, that he might be able to bless someone with the sound of his voice as he continues to sing in Pennsylvania. And Lord, we pray for Brother Edwards, his sons, Harris and Austin. We ask that you continue to help them to grow and help him to train them in the way that they should go, so that when they get old, they will not depart from it. Give them focus, give them guidance and direction, that they might learn the lessons that you would have them to learn. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them. Also praying for Sister Starworth as she recovers. And we thank you, Lord, that Sister Nichols is going to be in Detroit for her safety this winter. And we ask you, Lord, that you would facilitate that movement as well and bless them in all that they do to get her here as well. Praying for the Winstons, Lord, we ask that you bless Brother Winston, continue to bless his heart condition, his business condition, and then bless Sister Winston as well. And we ask you just to be with them. Pray for Brother Rodriguez, Brother Tyson, Mother Jones, as she is preparing to leave town. We ask that you would help her to get all the things in line, that she might make a transition as well. Praying for Mitty and Sam, and for Mother Versa, for Ben, and for Brother Chris. We ask you to bless in all these situations, and also for Sister Wills, who has had a stroke, and we understand she's doing better. And we ask you that you would continue to help her to recover from that situation, that she might be able to give leadership to her family, even in the holiday season when they will all come around to be around her. We ask you to continue to bless her as well. Praying for Brother Smith, Lord, today, and we ask you that you would continue to endow him with patience, tolerance, and understanding, and help him, Lord, if he finds himself in another one of those conversations that sort of sets him off a little bit, that he can remember what you would have him to do, and do that and speak in such a way that would be pleasing in his sight as well. Praying for Sister Brenda Carr, Lord, who has not only a physical problem, but has a problem to some degree with willpower and keeping track of her health. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give her some type of an experience that might reorient her and make her recognize that she needs to participate in her own recovery. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would continue to bless her, that you would guide and direct her in all that she does, and get in her mind that she might be able to think more clearly about those things. We're also praying for Brother Nate Potter and Sister Cheryl Potts and Sister Diane Ezell as well. Praying for Evangelist Betty Carter Cooney and our television shows that she has going on. We ask you to bless in that venue. Brother Roscoe George and the Conroys, we ask you to continue to bless Sister Conroy's knee. For Sister Brenda Wills and Sister Hudson, we thank you that she's still coming to clean up the place, and we ask you to order her steps in the Lord as well. Praying for Brother Leo McGill, thank you for his recovery and the joy that it has brought to his wife to bring him home from the hospital vertical rather than horizontal. We thank you for that, Lord. We're praying for Dad. We ask you to continue to give him a great time down there in Chicago. And he and Aunt Naomi, help them, Lord, as they get together all through the weekend, take care of one another, give them a glorious time together. Praying for Marvin on the East Coast as the holiday season is coming and the kids will be leaving. We ask you that you will make him able to maintain his administrative responsibilities in the college there. Praying for Brother Perkins and his family, his wife who's pregnant, and all of those married couples that he has asked us to pray for. We ask you to continue to bless them and let her gestation period be joyous, and let them have that which they have requested of you for their next child. Pray for the Brother and Sister Northern as they're down in Houston, and we ask you that you bless their family situation as well. For the Fullers, for Sister Janet Morgan, we ask you, Lord, that you would bless them. I've not seen them for a while, but we ask that you would bless them in whatever their situation may happen to be. We thank you for Sister Beard and her promotion and her buying a new house, Lord. And we're asking you that you would go with her in the processes that she might be able to have the insight and the wisdom required as she goes through this process to look out for all the pitfalls and see all of the things that that need to be looked at and make sure that everything is attended to. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have the wisdom and you can give her that which she needs to take care of all those things. We thank you for Brother Julian. And we pray, Lord, that he would be blessed to continue to get his homework done. Give him a mind to recognize the importance of his academic education, that he might be able to do the best possible job that he can, because although it may not seem to be as important to him now as are some other things, but that it will be very important to him later on. So give him a diligent spirit that he might be able to do all those things that you would have him to do and that his mother would have him to do as well. Praying for Brother Cross as he's in Detroit, give him traveling mercies as he goes back and forth over the dangerous highway. Also pray for Brother Carlos Young, and we ask you to give him a spirit-filled experience at church today. We ask you just to let your spirit flow through the place, that he might be touched by it, that he might be able to understand and recognize the reality of the fact that although the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we ask you that you would give him that gift and make him a faithful member of the church community where it is that he is going. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Theus has recovered, and we thank you that you've answered prayer in his case. Pray for the Webb family, for all that they've asked us to pray for Dr. Allen and for his organization and for his wife and for Brother Schramm and Sister Allen. We ask you to continue to heal and bless on that end, Lord. And also for Sister Viola Frazier, Sister Lilla Simpson, Brother and Sister Price, Brother Archie Peterson, Sister Laverne Smith and Lewis Crawford. Lord, you know the needs, and we ask you to meet those needs according to all of your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now we pray for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry, for those who have been involved in the hurricanes and are recovering from the efforts. We pray for our armed forces at home and abroad. We ask you that you bless all who are in that situation, keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger, and bring them back to their families swiftly and safely. We pray for the salvation of our family and our friends and the young men and women in this neighborhood. We pray also for Sister Lee and for Cedric, and we ask you that you would continue to bless them as we go through that, as they are going through all the things that they're going through. Let the school treat Sister Lee well, and let Cedric get his lesson and learn the academic principles that he needs to learn. We pray for his dad and help them to raise him in the way that he should go, so that when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. Bless you once again for Sister Beard and her son. Just keep them, Lord, in your care. Praying for JJ, Lord, we ask you that you would give him the same steel trap mind, that he might be able to gain the wisdom that has been given to him and remember it and keep it. And so that when they ask him those questions on the test, he can tell them what they said and get excellent grades. We pray for his parents as they are trying to guide him in the right direction as well. Bless them in all that they do. Brother Smith, continue to keep him, Lord. And Sister Allen and her grandchildren, keep them as well. Bless Paul and keep him safe, as we're going to be far apart this week on Thanksgiving. We ask you that you let him have a wonderful time here in Grand Rapids while we are down in the southern part of the country. And we're praying for Harris and his two sons. Continue to bless them as well. And I pray for my wife, the love of my life. Help us to be joined together with cords of love that cannot be broken. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for the things that you've given us here, for the gospel, for the information, for the transmission of that information, for the multimedia presentation that we have, that we might be able to make the gospel as plain and clear as we can to those who are listening to it. And we ask you that it would bless somebody, not only here in the place, but on the television, on the internet, all the places where our system is going on. And Lord, we thank you for all these things. Give us traveling mercies as we go up and down the highways during this holiday season. Bring us back safely at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. This is a time to be thankful. It's a time to be grateful for the great bounty that God has blessed us with. But the most precious thing that the Lord has given us, of all of the beautiful gifts that He has given us, is the gift of His darling Son, Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross pays the penalty that we owe for the sins that we have committed. And as we go to and fro this holiday week and prepare for the celebration on the weekend, on Thursday and on Friday, that we are all going to have, let us be foremost in our remembrance of the fact that one day when I was lost, He died on the cross. His blood shed on the cross is the sum total of the reason for the success of our existence. Let us remember all that He has done for us in His sacrifice on the cross. Let us remember Him now as we eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest with and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, Amen.